Welcome here. Trust that you are joyed as I am to be able to gather in a larger group. And I know the singing sounds a lot different when you have more voices than just mine, or at least when I can only hear myself. It doesn't quite sound as good, but it sure is nice when I have some others' voices joining in with mine and being able to worship together. And we're continuing this at this time, our series on unity in the midst of diversity. And we've been sharing over these past weeks some different aspects of what unity should look like in the body of Christ. And I know I described it to a picture of like what Canada looks like. Canada has taken great pride in the fact that we are a diverse nation. And up until recently, for the most part, we were moving in a common direction, together, stronger because we were different. Diverse was making us stronger as a nation. But the problem comes when different individual groups begin to not operate in a unified manner, and we all start going in our own directions. And then the whole structure seemingly seeks to crumble. We are witnessing this across the states. A nation of multiple diversity, multiple different ethnic groups. And now when all of a sudden you see those ethnic groups begin to raise up their voices against the collective unified whole, and you're starting to see the demise of a great nation. And unless they get a handle on what they can unify together around, they will soon cease to be a great nation. And as we witness the church, the body of Christ, not specifically the speaking about Osler Mission Chapel, but we want to look specifically here. We are diverse. We have multiple different ethnicities. We have multiple different thinking on different subjects. And we can collectively move together, unified with a common purpose that God has given to us, if we stay united together. And if we learn to appreciate and hold our diversity as a gift from God, we are never going to all think collectively together on a common subject. But we are stronger because we don't. And even when it comes to worship and the glorifying of God, God is greater glorified in the midst of diversity. But yet he has given the church a common mission together. And as we know from Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We have been given a task the church needs to be about. And it's not just, I would wish you that you would do this. He has commanded us, the body of Christ. Are we going out and making disciples? Is that our purpose? And are we about that? And so we want to talk this at this time at another aspect on this whole area of unity in the midst of diversity. And I've titled my message, Set Apart for a Holy Purpose. And what I would like to look at this time is the whole area of sanctification. And so trust that you got your Bibles ready this evening as we look at some different verses. But as I begin, let me just take a few moments to have a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time we have to look into your word. And Heavenly Father, may you show us your truth, that we might be your people led into truth and desirous to walk in truth in the midst of our diversity, that we might be unified together in a common direction around your command. We pray this in your name. Amen. We all have homes where we have objects that are set aside for specific tasks. I'm not sure if your home was like the one that I grew up in, but we had a pair of scissors that we knew that was destined for hair cutting in the house. Those pair of scissors were to be used and set aside for cutting hair. And dare the day when all of a sudden you saw that pair of scissors and you decided to cut out your art project with that pair of scissors. I'm sure you would have quickly have found out your mistake. And if you didn't find out that mistake, the next person that got their hair cut sure found out that somehow something was wrong with that set of pair of scissors. It was set aside for a specific task. Or maybe you had a cleaning rag, or you have a cleaning rag in your house for cleaning glasses, or spectacles that we all, or many of us seemingly wear. You have a special rag in the house that is destined for cleaning glasses. And dare the mistake if all of a sudden you clean the bathroom sink with that rag. You soon realize the mistake, and especially if it's your glasses you're trying to clean. They've been set aside for a specific task, not for common usage, which would taint or corrupt them. The Levites in the Old Testament were a tribe of the nation of Israel that was set aside by God as well for a specific task, for a special task. They were pulled out from the other 11, and they said, I'm going to give you a special task in the nation of Israel. They were to be servants, priests in the temple, and were given special privileges that none of the other tribes had for ministry in the temple. They did not receive an inheritance in the land, but were given several cities and often went unnumbered in the census because they had been set aside by God. They were not numbered to go out to war as the other tribes were numbered so that they would know who the amount of soldiers that they could take the battle with. Because they had been given the task, some were to serve in the temple, some were to be carrying the objects of the temple as they walked through the wilderness. And so the work of God, it continues today. It's setting apart a people for himself as well. See, he set the Levites apart for a special task. But if you are a child of God here this evening, you have been set aside as well. Because part of the work of salvation is the aspect of sanctification. And that is the part where God sets us aside for a special, specific task. A means of moving us towards holiness. And God is about that work today. See, one of the works that God does at salvation is his work of sanctification. It is the work of setting aside a child of God for a holy work. God not only positionally sanctifies us, but begins his work of conditional sanctification. At salvation, yes, we are positionally sanctified. We are holy, and we can go into the presence of God as holy people, bearing Christ's righteousness. But the work that God does is working in our lives, conditional sanctification, seeking to move us daily, weekly, towards a greater and a clearer image of himself. The unbeliever has only one direction, one disposition towards sin and away from God. The believer is now a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, with a new direction, a new disposition towards God and holiness. That should be the pursuit, that should be the picture of your life if you are a believer. If you have come in faith and repentance to God, then what is an aspect of your life is conditional, continuing sanctification that God is about in our lives. Sanctification is the gracious operation of the Holy Spirit involving our responsible participation by which he delivers us from the pollution of sin, renews our entire nature according to the image of God, and enables us to live lives that are pleasing to him. This progressive sanctification is a process by which this pollution of sin is being removed. However, it will not be totally removed in this life according to 1 John 1 verse 8. Yes, there are people in the body of Christ who believe that they are without sin. But I believe the Word of God speaks very clearly to the fact that we are a work in progress by the Holy Spirit who indwells the believer, and also the body of Christ, the work of the body of Christ in our lives to move us along the pathway of holiness into a deeper and a clearer image of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a work that God begins in our lives at the moment of salvation and is a testimony of our salvation. Paul Tripp has made this statement. It is right to say that the greatest danger in my life exists inside of me and not outside of me. Then wouldn't it also be the height of naivety or arrogance to think that I would be okay left to myself? No, not for a moment would I forget or diminish the convicting ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But I would posit that the Spirit uses instruments, his transforming word, brought faithfully by his people and empowered by his ever-present grace. See, Paul Tripp came to the realization that the greatest need was inside of himself, not outside of us. Too often, our focus is upon the exterior, and we need to, at this time, look back upon our hearts and see where our hearts are at, and see the work that God needs to do within our hearts. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read verses 18 through 26. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 18 and proceeding down to verse 26. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. God has placed us within the body of Christ, the church. It's God's sovereign design, and each member in his body has been strategically placed by God, the master architect. And it's like God knew where he wanted you to be placed, and he's placed you there specifically with a divine purpose in that position. Problem is, too often we desire something other than what God has given to us, the placing that God has given to us. And thus the body doesn't seemingly work together. The body is complete and functions when each member takes hold of their placing and contributes to the whole. But he not only placed us, but he also equipped us to do what he wants us to do. And so as we look at Ozer Mission Chapel, we need to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for that person. That God has gifted that person in that specific task that he is doing for that specific task. Are we thankful for each other and the blessings and the gifting that God has given to different individuals? See, too often what we do is we seemingly lift up those who have more of a stage position, more of a communication position than those who might seemingly be doing the janitorial work or whatever, other type of ministries. But each of us has been strategically placed by God where we are at to fulfill what he desires us to fill. Each part of the body aids the whole to be able to function effectively. Each part of the body is diverse in its function, but all the parts work together in symmetry so that a greater purpose can be reached. We are all too aware of what happens when a part of our body says it has had enough and stops functioning. I'm not sure if you've seen this letter here called A Broken Key. And seemingly there's, 42 different keys. They all seemingly are working well. But what happens when one key all of a sudden decides to, I'm not going to work today. And so then we have this letter here, even though my typewriter is an old model, it works quite well, except for one of the keys. I have many times wished that it worked perfectly. It is true that there are 41 keys that function well enough, but just one key not working makes the difference. And so we can look at the body of Christ that way. We can say, well, they really don't need me. They have enough people already. But God has strategically placed you where you are at in the body of Christ to fulfill a specific purpose. And as we see this letter with just the letter E all of a sudden deciding that it wasn't going to cooperate that day. And when we decide that I'm going to step out of the position that God desires me to fulfill, then we all of a sudden show and produce something that is mixed up like that. Each part of the body ministers to the rest of the body so that it can reach its highest function and purpose. With this comes the responsibility for the individual growth of each part. And so God has strategically allowed the body of Christ to minister and to aid in the work of sanctification in our lives. Yes, God is at work, and he is working that his work in our lives. But he is allowing the body of Christ to also aid in that as well. And when we decide to step out of the function that God desires us to work within, then we hinder the work of sanctification, not only in our own lives, but also in the body of Christ as well. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says this, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. As we grow up in all aspects unto him, we bless the body, for we are better able to function in the capacity God has given to us." Some of you can remember the days when you worked with a team of horses, when all of a sudden you might have been working with four different horses, and one of them decided that that was the day he was going to slack off, and just how that affected what you were trying to achieve. The aspect of symmetry and being able to achieve a greater task when all the parts are working together. Thus, the work of sanctification in your life blesses the body and works for their further sanctification, and this is the ministry of edification. In the building process, some stages seem to move quicker and make more of a marked difference. And as you have seen houses going up, and all of a sudden you see the drywall going into the house, it seemingly makes a bigger difference. All of a sudden, wow, you can see the vision of the finish line coming to a greater degree. And in sanctification, there are different progress rates as well. It doesn't move in a steady rate. It moves in degrees. The process of becoming like Christ does not move in a straight line upward, but often has plateau periods. But there should be movement upward over an extended period of time. You should be able to look back in the year, 2 years previous, and be able to evaluate and see where God has taken you. Has God moved you further down the road of sanctification, further down the road of holiness in your life? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, just from the Lord, the Spirit. This is God's goal for you. This is the work that God is doing in our lives. He has promised to bring it to completion in the fullness of time. His desire and work are in moving us from one degree of glory to another. When you come to new realizations about who Christ is and what it means to follow him, this is not you being justified all over again. You were justified when you first repented and believed, and when you trusted in Christ for salvation. And now you are growing in Christ, progressing in degree of likeness to Christ. And this is a process that will involve new realizations all along the way, every step of the way. Yes, at salvation, we are justified. We are declared righteous in God's sight. It's a one-time act that God does on our behalf, whereby we have the right, privilege, honor to enter into his presence. But a work that God is continuing to do in our lives is to bring out his image in and through our lives. And that's a work that God continues right through until we see him face to face. It is his initiative, his power, his mercy, and his grace at work in every single bit of this. See, 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God." Anointed there means set apart by God. So it is a work that God does. We are set apart by God. And so God himself is at work in our lives, bringing his sanctification, his image into our lives. See, we become like what we behold. In Exodus 34, Moses went upon a mountain and he met with God. And he beheld the glory of God. In fact, it even said there, "God, show me your glory," was Moses' heart cry at that time. And God honored that request that Moses had. And God, in a limited degree, showed Moses his glory when he was on the mountain. So when he came down from the mountain, his face was expressing what he had been exposed to. The more we look to Christ, the more we will look like Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." When was the last time you sat at Jesus' feet staring into his face? That you might see his glory, and that that glory might be reflected in you as well. When people look at you, do they see Christ? Do you display the image of Christ in your life? But sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit as well. Ezekiel 36, verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you." The work that God does is a work from the inside out. He changes our hearts and he changes our will. We need to realize that sanctification is a work of God. Yes, the body of Christ is involved to some degree. God has allowed that. But the work that he is doing is from the inside out. See, too often we view sanctification based on our performance for God. We base our status, are we developing as a believer, on how much we are doing within the church. Look at me, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Look at me, I'm a deacon. Look at me, I'm a pastor of the church here. And so what we soon fail in our realization is that we base our sanctification on how much we are doing. And then all of a sudden, when we don't have the energy to do what we have done, then all of a sudden we feel like we are failures. No, we're not failures, because we have forgotten that God's work is from the heart, and God is at work on the heart, changing our hearts that we might more reflect his image. See, the Pharisees sought to do this, and they were described as whitewashed sepulchers. And the result is exhaustion and frustration. There was a period of my time when I was involved in a bus ministry and seeking to go and bring children to our church programs. One of the persons that was involved in that ministry with us was a dynamic worker in the church. Several years later, Dave, my brother, was visiting him and seeing where he was at. And he said he'd given up on God. He said, "I'm just tired of trying to perform. I just can't do it." And he gave up, because he was seeking to perform for God and failed to realize that God was about the work and needed to be about the work in his heart. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts, our movement towards holiness is a work from the inside out and results in ministry from his power and through his grace. It's when God directs us in the ministry, God opens up doors of opportunity for us. It's so that we might display his glory, we might display his grace, and we might operate in that grace in the ministry that he has called us to do. But sanctification is a transformation process as it transforms our affections, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. It transforms our actions, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 10. And it transforms our relationships, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Our love for each other and God communicates the love of God to others. Is this transformation taking place in your life? Is your mind becoming more and more in the image of Christ? Are we thinking more and more the thoughts of God? Are your affections being driven more and more by Christ? Do your actions more and more reflect the love of Christ in the church and in the world around you? The work of sanctification is a movement of holiness in each of these areas. We need to stop and we need to evaluate. Are we moving forward on the road of holiness in our lives? Are we seeing the work that God is doing? Yes, we can't often see day by day what the results, but over time, we can reflect and we can look back and say, "Wow, thus far, the grace of God has brought me." 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" He is commanding us that we need to, on occasions, examine our lives to see if God is about that work in our lives. Is sanctification taking place? It's a command for us to do if we are in the faith, as evidenced by the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is dispute between this of exactly what he means. But I believe that he is talking about we need to examine the work that God is doing in our lives. He's not asking us to doubt our salvation. He's asking us to stop. God, What have you done? Where have you brought me? Where are you taking me? It should be alarming to us if we do not see sanctification happening in our lives. If you are not moving into more and more the image of Christ, you should be asking why, and it should be take you to the feet of Jesus. Because it is a work that God does from the day of salvation to the day he takes you home one day. Sanctification moves by degrees, so it does not look like a straight line upward, but as times of plateau and different rates of growth. Over time, there should be growth. In this time of restrictions over COVID, there are great disputes over where one stands on the submission to the rules or the rejection of the rules as nonsense. And so thus we have gotten into the place where now we are seeing disputes, we're seeing enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, which is, if they are named among us, are not evidences of the Spirit, but the deeds of the flesh. And if you know that I'm talking from Galatians chapter 5, you would know that he goes on and says, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we are seeing disputes in the body of Christ, that is not a testimony of sanctification. That is not a testimony of holiness. That is a testimony of walking in the flesh. That is a testimony of us stepping outside of what God has called us to do and God's desire in our lives. We've been fighting each other over who is right or who is wrong on the issue of the restrictions, and we've forgotten that we should be seeing a movement in our lives towards holiness. And so we've been distracted as the body of Christ. Where do you stand on this line? Are you over here or are you over here? And dare you not be over there, because thus I'm going to cut off fellowship with you if you're over there. I want nothing to do with you if that is your position. And thus we have been distracted in the body of Christ from what God has called us to do and what we should be doing in moving towards holiness. See, the greatest issue is not on the horizontal plane, where you are here or whether you are here. The greater issue is, where are you in your holiness, in the depth of your life as you move towards holiness? That should be a greater concern, because in the midst of wherever you are on that line, are you seeking to display the image of Christ? Is that your heart's cry? Is that where you want God to do that work in your life? Can I display the image of Christ wherever position I seemingly are standing upon? And thus, with somebody is over here, somebody is over here, my greater concern is, what is the work that God is doing in your heart today? When was the last time you asked somebody that in this whole situation that we are living in? When was the last time you said, what has God taught you today? What is God seemingly doing in your life at this present time in seeking to better manifest his image? Are we displaying the image of Christ today? Or are we seemingly showing our differences? What is of greater concern is the question, since COVID started, do you see and reflect more of the image of Christ in your life? Is your life a testimony, witness of the gospel? Or has the gospel been hidden because of our seemingly distractions? Have we been distracted from displaying Christ through our lives that others might see his image and might come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior? There's a God over heaven and earth who desires people to be eternally saved and delivered from sin. And there is a God in this world who desires people to die in their sin, burn in everlasting hell, and we are right in the middle of it, preaching Christ. But are we doing that? Are we preaching Christ? Are we seeking better to, I'm going to stand for my freedom. I'm going to stand for my rights. I'm not saying that there isn't a concern there, but is it the biggest concern? Shouldn't the greater concern be, how can I model and display the image of Christ in the midst of this season? Is not my greater concern is your growth towards Christ, your growth and maturity in Christ. Should that not be the greater concern of our lives than over whether we hold to this position or we hold to this position? How about we start in our conversations at that place? What has God taught you today? What is God teaching you through his word? And be more concerned for those things. When we realize that eternity is on the line, we are focused on preaching one reality, Christ, and we preach him with urgency. And especially if you are getting all the reports that I get over Facebook, it seemingly looks like we are drawing to a conclusion of this period of time when we will see the return of the Lord. Should that not drive us with greater urgency that we might win the lost, that we might have a heart for the lost and not be distracted with lesser things? We have been sanctified by God if we are one of his children. This means you have been set apart by him for a holy purpose, to pursue holiness. We are all at different places on the road of sanctification. Yes, some are here, some are over here on this road towards holiness. Thank God for that. Some have recently come to know the Lord, and God is starting his work in their lives, moving them towards sanctification. Some of us have been longer with the Lord, and we are further down the road. Let's rejoice in the places where we're at, in the work that God has drawn us to, but let's also be seeking to minister in each other's lives as well. God is faithful and will be about this work in our lives as well until the day of Christ Jesus, when we will be fully and completely sanctified and display the image of Christ in fullness. In the meantime, we are a people in the workshop of God being shaped and molded. We are not where we should be, but we are not the people that we were. We are a diverse group of by language, culture, upbringings, opinions, dispositions, with different likes and dislikes. But if you're a child of God, you're not your own. You have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. We have been given a mission to perform of making disciples. Let us not get distracted with lesser things, but resolve to live out the gospel by word and lifestyle. I'll call the worship team up at this time, because we're going to have communion shortly after this. This has been a message from our pastor's hearts. It's been a series from our hearts. We realize that we don't all agree on this whole area of restrictions. We're all aware of what's been going on in the news, and we're all aware of all of that. But my heart's cry is, what is the work that God is doing in your heart? Are you seeing God do a work in your heart? Have you come to that place where you've stopped and said, God, I want to examine my life to see what you are about, so that I might see the work that God is doing in bringing me into a deeper depth of knowing him and displaying Christ in my life? May that be the concern and cry of our lives. Let me just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are at work in our lives, that this sanctification is a work of not only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but that, Heavenly Father, you have called the body of Christ to also be involved. So pray that we might see and know your work in our lives, and that, Heavenly Father, that we might be people seeking to display your image in a greater and more in-depth way day by day. For we pray in your name. Amen.